I would invite you now to turn with me for our scripture reading to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. I'll set the background for this passage. When I get to do these exchanges or other guest speaking things for many years now, maybe I've said that to you before, I try to use the message that I'd used the week before. That helps me. I know Ryan does this too. That helps me. But it also simply is, if the Word of God has been being blessed in one church, then we pray it would be in the next. And so I'm in a series right now on sanctification, have been for a few months. And we are on this passage as part of that series on sanctification. What is sanctification, maybe you ask? Sanctification is that doctrine in Scripture in which God is talking about how He is sanctifying or making us holy, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ, working out the saving power of Christ in us so that we more and more love and honor and serve God and walk with Christ. Well, this part of sanctification we've been looking at is this idea of putting to death sin, to putting it to death. So you'll see that focus here in verse 13, which is our text. But there's also a life to live. And so a lot of what's being talked about is the power of God in us to help us to put to death sin, but also there is that important focus on living to God, living this new life. So those things are part of the background, verses 1 through 13, and 13 is our text. So let's hear the Word of God together. Starting with Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word. I'm sorry I didn't provide a outline for you this morning. This past week at Synod, I got everything in, but I forgot to give Ryan the outline. We'll look at that in a moment. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the longer you live as a Christian, I think the more grieved and the more shaken, the more rocked you become by the presence of your sin, the more sensitive, then you might say, the more troubled you become by sin, the longer you live as a Christian. I think that's true. Sin is subtle. Sin is sneaky. Sin is nasty. And it's relentless and it's discouraging. It's all those things, isn't it? And in fact, Paul was, in this passage, as he writes this passage, Paul is fresh from chapter 7, where he laid out the struggle that he, as a Christian, has with his own sin. The good that I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. I struggle with this, and I hate that struggle, but it's there. And truly, he's grieved by it. He's troubled by it. But then he goes on to say, thanks be to God, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God, I've been delivered from captivity, slavery to sin. Thanks be to God, I've been given the strength to begin to live for God. That's really a wonderful message that you see as a transition from chapter 7 into chapter 8. It's great news. I'm not a slave to sin. As a Christian, neither are you. We aren't slaves to it, all right? Now, I want to set up our introduction that way because we need to think about this. Paul says in Romans 1 and 8, he says there are two realities in every Christian. Unbelievers don't have these two realities in them. Only believers have these two realities in them, these two laws. There is the reality or the law of flesh, of sin, of death, that sinful nature that we inherited through the fall of Adam and Eve, that body and soul. You know this tendency to every part of you, the flesh. The reason why he calls it the flesh is because in every part of your body, your mind, your affections, your emotions, your will, the way you think, everything that comes out of this body and comes to expression in this body is affected by this sinful tendency. So you don't just sin inside here and inside here. You sin with these hands. You sin with this flesh. So the flesh, the whole body and soul, all of you are affected by that sin. Now that's one law. That's one reality. But Paul says there's another reality that's in the Christian. And the other reality that's in the Christian is the law of the Spirit of life. Verse 2 talks about that. The law of the Spirit of life. Something has happened to the believer that the unbeliever doesn't know. We have the Spirit of God in us. We are united to Jesus Christ. The Spirit is living in us and working in us. And we have a new heart. We have been, call it regeneration, call it born again. That's what the Bible says. You are a new creature. Every Christian is a new creature. There aren't some spiritual Christians and some non-spiritual Christians. If you're a Christian, if the Spirit is in you, you have life. If the Spirit isn't in you, you have nothing. You're dead. So every Christian has this Spirit of law, this law in it, this Spirit of life, and it's the Spirit of God. Every Christian. And so now we begin to think about God. We begin to love God. We begin to our affections begin to be affected by this. The things we want, the things we desire, the things we do are now also being influenced by the Spirit of God. We begin to want to live. When this passage talks about life, that is particularly this idea of a life that has been planted in you. It's a life. It's new life. Before you were dead, there was death, but now there's life, a spiritual life that lives to God. And that's a wonderful thing to have that life in me, to have a real life in me that wants to live for God and to godliness. Now, those two realities are in every Christian. And so, here's how this comes into the play of talking about sanctification. It's very important that we not become paralyzed by our sin. It's very important that we not become discouraged by the presence of sin, that we begin to despair over the presence of sin, that we become hopeless because sin continues to affect your life. And that happens. As a pastor, and your pastor can tell you that, and your elders can tell you that, and just you yourself know this. Sometimes we can get so hopeless about this sense of sin. Or, there's another issue, we can become apathetic about sin. We can begin to say it something like this. You know, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I haven't made a lot of progress so far. in my sinful struggles. I'm beginning to think I'm not going to make much progress in my sinful struggles. You know, at this point, I got to say it is what it is. I'm just going to start living. I'm just going to have to not worry about this sin stuff. I know it's bad. I'll do my best. But, you know, frankly, I don't think there's going to be a lot of progress. That's what I mean by apathy. Many of us have that temptation to that kind of apathy. And it's very important because this passage says, you know, that is a mindset that you need to get rid of. Paul is saying here, that's a mindset you need to get rid of. That mindset is a mindset of the flesh. Now, the question is how? How do I get rid of that tendency? How do I get rid of those things that are part of the way of the law of flesh and of sin and of death? How do I get rid of that? I think it's Pentecost today. All right? We all are really pathetic. We're not looking at our Christian calendars, but I think it's Pentecost today. So even if it's not, it's close. And we think about the Spirit of God, right? What does this passage say? This passage says that something has happened to the Christian that has just completely changed everything. The Spirit of God is now in you. And you are a son of God, verse 14 goes on to say. You have something now. You have life. And the how. How am I going to begin to have this new mindset is right here. This passage doesn't tell us everything. You need the whole Bible to tell you everything about how to live more and more with a new mindset. But it has principles. It has pointers that give us that direction. And Paul is saying here, you need to live according to this new mindset. And that means you need to develop. You need to encourage that new mindset. We're made in the image of God. God gives us a brain. He gives us the ability to think. And God transforms that mind. Walt was prayed about that transformation of the mind. We need the mind transformed. So the Spirit of God addresses your mind. Think about that. Through the Word of God, our minds begin to be transformed, begin to get instructed. And what follows when your mind is being transformed is it begins to affect all of you, your emotions, your desires, your will, your impetus, the things that would have come out and affect the way you do things in your body and in your flesh. It all begins to get transformed together. So the mind's transformed, the will, the emotions, the desires, the life, the actions begin to be transformed by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul says you got to get your mind right in that sense. Your heart, you have a new life in you. You have a new heart in you. And your mind and your heart, your will, it all has to come together for the service of God. So what's this mindset that we need to develop in terms of battling sin? What's this mindset we need to have new, this new mindset about living for God? What is the mindset, okay? So that's what we're going to ask, and we're going to go through this passage in terms of looking at what that new mindset's going to look like. So the first point is the mindset includes the necessity of warfare against sin. The necessity of warfare against sin. Here's what we have in mind. Paul has described that warfare in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, by he says, the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit, and these two are contrary to each other. That's how Paul describes it in Galatians 5. But in Galatians 8, verse 7, he puts it this way. Look at verse 7. He says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. And he says in verse 6, he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So what's he's doing there, he's contrasting these two realities. And he's saying, look, there is a concept in you called flesh, and it's hostile. Now, when you hear that there is a hostile force in you, what should that make you want to do? A hostile force is in you, and it's coming after you. You have to recognize it's time to fight, right? It's time to fight. It's time to fight against that force that is threatening you, that wants to do harm to you. That's the concept. That's why we say there's a warfare that you have to be involved in when it comes to the question of indwelling sin. There is an open hostility between the spirit and the flesh, and it's going on in your body and in your soul. And as long as Christ is living in you, as long as the Spirit is in you, that must be the case, right? Because a holy God is living in you. And He is not going to sit there and let the sins of our flesh continue to have reign in us, to continue to work themselves out and get comfortable in us. Because Christ is in you. And so there has to be this warfare. The deeds of the body, sin, continues to lurk in you. It's kind of fighting a guerrilla warfare. You know what a guerrilla warfare is? It's not King Kong. It's a guerrilla warfare, right? That's a description of a resistance army that is hiding in a country. And it hides, and then every once in a while it pops out and it hits the people that they're reacting or that they're arguing against, fighting against, and they do all these little secret raids, and they're always hiding, and suddenly they pop up, and it's kind of like some of these terrorists that we see who carry out these terrorist acts, and suddenly they drive a bomb into a building or something. That's a kind of a guerrilla warfare. They hide and then they strike. Well, sin does that in our lives. It's lurking all over the place because it's still there. It's still alive. Its power is dead, but it's still there, and it's constantly popping out. In everything you do, it's ready to pop out. That's what it's doing, and that's why it has to be. That's how why you have to understand. It's a hostile force in you, and it's something that you're called to kill. So look at verse 13 now. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. There is that hostile force in there, and you're called to put it to death. Because it's threatening you. It wants to kill you. See, you can't just suppress it. You're not just called to suppress sin. You're called to kill sin. So those patterns of thinking, those attitudes that are clinging to us of anger and rage and bitterness and lust and all those sorts of things, they're to be killed, the Bible says. They're to be put off, confessed. Otherwise, it'll put you to death. There is a hostile force in you that will put you to death, Paul says. You will die, he says. So develop this mindset. There is no apathy. There is no surrender. There is no despair. Be at war against the sin that continues to cling to you. Second point. The mindset we have to develop is of a personal responsibility. The personal responsibility to put sin to death. What do I mean by that? You might be tempted to say this morning, look, I thought that the Spirit does all the work in putting to death my sin. I thought the Spirit did all those things. Surely I can't put to death sin. Sin is a power. I can't even put my finger on it. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? I can't put to death my own sin. That's the Spirit's job, right? Wrong. Okay? Please understand, Paul says, that isn't the way to think about this. Read the verse. Read verse 13 again. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You. You're responsible for this. You're a new creature in Christ. And that means you're holy, and that means you love God, and that means you begin to live for God, and you begin to walk in holiness. And so you resist, you put to death sin. But notice that startling line. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. You will die. You say, now wait, what? What? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I can't die, can I? That can't be true. Paul must be confused. Brothers and sisters, I would respectfully tell you, you're ignoring Paul's words. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Don't kid yourself. If this is the path you're heading on and you're living according to the flesh and sin is having its reign in you, you will die. Not just physically. This is a spiritual, eternal death. Please don't walk away from a text like this and say, well, that really doesn't mean the Christian. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. That should wake us up to what is considered right here the true responsibility, the personal responsibility of each Christian with regard to the sin in their life. Now, God is faithful. God is a faithful God. The God who saved you is going to preserve you. He's never going to give up on you. He who began a good work in you is going to complete it into the day of Christ Jesus. So don't panic about this. God's going to keep you in life, and he's going to keep you in peace, and he's going to keep you in salvation. But the God who does that uses means. What do we mean by that? He uses means. He's not only saved you, and he's not only going to sanctify you, but he's going to use a vehicle by which to sanctify you, a means. And what is that means? The Spirit of God is at work in you, and you are to walk in step with the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God helping you to do? Put to death your sin, the deeds of the body. He's helping you to do that. He's using his word to help you put to death the deeds of your body. The means that he's using is his word and spirit. And you are to use those to put to death the deeds of the body. But unless you're engaged in the battle, brothers and sisters, unless you're engaged in the battle, you won't be sanctified. That's why our personal responsibility to put to death our sin is such a compelling argument for us to get. We're to be engaged in this every day. We don't stop until the day we die. That leads us to our third point, and a very important one. Not only are we responsible, but here's the good news, you are able. You are able to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And I think that's why this is such a hopeful passage. Because Paul isn't coming to people who are slaves and captive to sin and saying, now, fight sin, people. Well, that wouldn't make much sense, would it? Paul isn't coming to people like that. He's coming to people who have been freed from the enslaving power of sin by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's coming to people who are able. Notice what he says in verse 13. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. By means of this Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body. You see, that's a really encouraging thing. That's a very hopeful thing, isn't it? The Almighty Spirit of God is in you. And he is there to enable you to put to death the deeds of the body. Now, in a congregation gathered here today of this size, I think it's safe to say there must be someone here, maybe many of us, who have come through another fresh battle with sin in this past week, and you lost. You lost your temper. You let loose your foul mouth. You raged in rebellion against your mom or your dad. Maybe you gave in and you went back to your pornography or your drinking. What is it? I don't know. But probably there's somebody among us who's been rocked back on their heels again. But you see, brothers and sisters, we're not left paralyzed. We're not left to just simply despair. We're not left to hopelessness. The sin you commit has been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He washes you clean. Christ has already won that decisive victory. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says that that sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not rule you. But you see, we are in a mop-up operation. And that means we have many battles to go before the presence of sin is gone. Many battles. In fact, that's going to go on till the day you die. You're going to fight this battle. It's never going to stop. It's a dangerous operation. It's warfare. You have to take it seriously. There are many pains, many discouragements. I can guarantee you, if you're 90 years old, you're still struggling with your sin. You know that. But you see, by the Almighty Spirit of God, you are able to put to death the deeds of the body. You will be able to make progress in this life of holiness because you were redeemed to live. The Spirit is life and peace. Who doesn't want life and peace? We all want life and peace. We want a life that is pleasing to God. A life that is pleasing to God is an enjoyable life. It really is. The consciousness of violating the law of God is not driving you, and you're pleased, you're happy, you're thankful that you could serve the Lord. You're living a life that is godly and honorable to God, and that's a joy to do. That's life in peace. You want to live that way, don't you? You're able to put to death sin. Spirit of God is in you. That is wonderful news. That is a wonderful message for the hope of growing in grace and godliness. Final mindset I want to talk about then, the fourth one, is that there has to be or develop a want to overcome sin, a will to overcome sin. You have to want. We have an expression, don't we? Heard of this expression before, probably. You know, I'm concerned about so-and-so, they're sick. I think that they have lost the will to live. You ever hear that expression? I think so-and-so lost the will to live. They're so discouraged with their sickness. They're so discouraged with their daily pain. They're so discouraged with their disease and fighting that disease. Maybe it's cancer or something like that. And their hopes have been dashed so many times in this struggle, and the treatments have brought them so low, and they're just going to sit back and they're going to let this disease sweep them into death. Keep me as comfortable as I can, but I'm done fighting the battle. I'm going to go. Say, okay, with respect to a terminal illness, we get that. Nothing wrong with that. There comes a point where it can be good to die. But when it comes to the life of holiness, we never arrive at that day where we lose the will to put to death the flesh. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Spirit of God calls you, saves you, leads you, helps you, draws you on, gave you a new heart that says, I want to live for my God. I want to live the life that honors and pleases God. And you know, sometimes that's our struggle, isn't it? We've been knocked back so many times in our struggle with sin that sometimes we just start getting this discouragement. I try to forgive my husband, my wife, my friend, my brother, my sister, and every time I do it, they turn back around and then they just disappoint me again. I can't do it anymore. The old theologian Augustine, he wrote a book called his Confessions. So later in life, he wrote about some of the errors, the sins, and the things that he had been doing in his life. And he wrote about this. He said, there was a point in my life early on, he says, I prayed, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. That's a pretty self-conscious prayer, isn't it? Someday I want to get around to that kind of holiness. Someday I want to get around to doing that, but not yet. Now I want to drink. I want to take drugs. I want to raise rebellion. I know it's not always a holy lifestyle, but I'm having fun. And I'm not married, so I just want to go out and I want to see what's out there. Where's the will in that? That is a will that is driven by the flesh. Do you want to overcome sin? Paul's asking that question. He's talking about that question. And he said, do you want to overcome sin? You see, in sanctification, in a certain sense, we have to say that we get what we desire. We get what we desire. Jesus said, if your eye offend you, you are to rip it out. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, you ought to chop it off. Can't imagine. Can you imagine? Why? Because he said it's better to go into the kingdom of heaven without an eye, without a hand, than go to hell forever. You see, those are the contrasts that the Bible gives us sometimes in these absolute contrasts between the life of the Spirit of God and the life that leads to death, which is sin. And so what's this passage is giving you that contrast, isn't it? If you have been raised with Christ, if you are a new creation, then you must be willing to act with a spiritual violence against your own sin. And that's hard and that's scary and that's going to be uncomfortable, and it means you're going to end up having to change your lifestyle around. And I used to be a Sabbath breaker, and I'm not going to be anymore. Well, that's hard. Hey, that's the law, but that's good. Add whatever commandment you want to add here. None of them are easy. If you used to live according to them. But sin is hostility to God. You're fighting God when you're living in your sin. You're fighting against God. And sin offends God. And sin distorts your emotions, and it distorts your desires, and it distorts your loves, right? But what is God's purpose for your life? That you love Him, that you follow Him, that you serve Him, that you give your whole life to Him. You seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. And that's what you're called to, and that's what you've been raised up to. Sin will leave you broken. But following the Spirit of God will not leave you broken, other than it will break your pride, and it will break your bitterness, and it will break your anger, and it will break your unforgiving spirit. But it will bring you to life. You will not die if you put to death your sin. You will not die. It'll hurt, but you won't die. Because the death of sin more and more helps lead you into life and peace. Paul says you will not die. Doesn't mean, in fact, he says you will live. The end of verse 13, he says you will live. And that that idea means you will begin to live this Godward life. You will begin to live this new life. You'll begin to live it. You were made to live this life. You lost it in the fall, and now you're giving it back, and you'll be able to live for God and live for Jesus and live in the kingdom of heaven, and that's a good thing. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of godliness. When I was a little kid, one time I remember getting a splinter in my hand, and it was very painful, and it started swelling, and it got red. So I went to my mother. My mother was a nurse, and I went to my mother, and I asked her to make that thing better because it was so painful. And so she gets out a needle and a scalpel. I took one look at that and said, no thanks. And she assured me. She said, you know, this is not going to kill you. It's going to make you better. So I finally relented, and she took out that needle, and she took out that little scalpel, and she cut around it. She got it out. You know what? It really hurt. It did. But you know what else? Within a day, it felt good. I didn't die. Paul's saying something like that here. Killing sin by the Spirit of God will feel like it's you yourself that's dying, but you're not dying. You're going to live. It's the flesh that's dying, but you're going to live. And so that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you know, the Holy Spirit has been given to you. The Spirit of Christ is living within you. Jesus came to die for your sin. He suffered for that sin you've committed. Even the sin that continues to lurk in your heart, He suffered for that. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell you. And the Holy Spirit is delivering you from that sin which is threatening you and is hostile to you. The Holy Spirit is helping you become more and more like your Savior Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. So we have the greatest possible hope for overcoming sin. We've been delivered from its guilt, and we've been delivered from its power. We have a great hope. So here's my question to you, brothers and sisters. Why would you live in the sin for which Christ died? That's what Paul's asking you here. Why would you live in a sin that Jesus had to die for to save you from? Why would you continue to live in that sin? Why would you continue to live in a sin that the Holy Spirit is in you to lead you out of? Why? These are the questions the Bible is asking. And they're addressing your minds with this. And it's saying, think about this. Why would I keep doing this? The mindset that we want to develop is that we are the children of God. And by the Spirit of God, we're to cultivate a mindset where we need to war against our sin. We have to take the responsibility to fight that sin. We have the ability to put it to death, and we need the will to do it. And God has given us all those things in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And why all this? Because verse 13 tells us, because now you will live. You'll really begin to live. The only life worth living is the Christian life. The only life truly worth living is the Christian life. A life of holiness to God, a life to the glory of God, a life. And we begin to glorify God, enjoy Him in this life and in the life to come. And that's what Paul's calling us to, in that mindset. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you today humbled by the Word of God, reminded by the Word of God that we are called to a glorious life, a life of peace, a life by which we begin to know you and the power of